Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
This is a CC Radio podcast.
It was just the most massive thing I've ever seen. To tell you the honest truth, I thought, well, we're the only ones left on this planet. Something's happened. We've missed something here.
The fear that went in me when I seen it was just the feeling, I'd say it was fear, but I've never felt that feeling before in my entire life.
It's a weird feeling, like you can't explain it when you don't know. You feel like you're being followed, but you don't know what it is.
We had two to our right, another one in front of us, another one to the left, and another one just across the road, shaking the daylight out of the tree. All we get is a big red eye.
I remember waking up and looking at the end of the bed, and there was a figure there, almost insect-like, and then I blacked out.
Welcome to the show, everyone. You are listening to Believe, Paranormal and UFO Radio. My name is Cade Moyer, and thanks for tuning in. If you've had an encounter, get in touch with me. My email address is believe@ccradio.com.au, or you can message me on Facebook at facebook.com/believeUFOradio. If you enjoy this episode, there are a few things you can do to help the show. Firstly, you can go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star rating and review. Or you can share the show around social media with your friends and family, and that will help us grow. Tonight I'm joined by Donna, and Donna had an absolutely terrifying Yowie encounter in the Australian Kimberley in the early 80s. Now, some of the listeners may recognize this story from our very, very special call-in shows that we do in the Believe fan group. So if you want to listen to those, we do those about once a month. So make sure you go onto Facebook and join that. But tonight I want to welcome Donna. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Kate. Nice to speak to you.
It's lovely to speak to you again. Your encounter absolutely blew me away when you gave me the short version, and it terrified me then, and I am absolutely ecstatic that you've come on the show to share the full encounter with us. Do you mind going back to the start of your encounter all the way back in the early 80s?
Yeah, okay. I was travelling northern Kimberley region. I'd rather not mention the town. I used to ride my bike early in the morning out of town, a couple of kilometres south of this particular town. I got sick of doing that particular route on a regular route, so I started to go north of town, and it was the main road, Highway 1. It was about 5 o'clock in the morning, and I finally found the main bitumen road because I was going to go on the old dirt track road, and someone gave me directions to the newer road. And the first time I was riding by at 5 o'clock in the morning, and about 2 kilometres out of town, they had this small quarry, and the dogs were just going crazy, and I just kind of ignored the dogs. And I heard this kind of a growl on stage from a distance as I drove past. And I thought, I'll ride my push bike past, and thought, oh, that must be a stray dog. That's why the dogs are going crazy. And when I heard that growl, kind of like, I felt really weird. Like I felt like a vibration just vibrate, but it was subtle. But I just felt really odd and just shrugged it off. So I kept riding my bike. Then I went back past that same position. I heard another growl, just ignored it, shrugged it off. Next day I did the same thing. The same thing happens again. Come the third day, I go out that way, and dogs are going berserk. And this time, the growls are a bit closer, and the cockatoos are just going crazy, just ducking and diving. Like you could see where the birds were kind of going from tree to tree. Like I never heard anything walking the tall grasses, and we're about like a metre above ground on the road, looking down type of thing. It's like a high road, and I heard this growl, and I just kind of low gruttal growl, a bit close, and I just ignored it. I thought, sure, that dog's close. I thought maybe it's a dingo. And then I head back into town the fourth day, early morning. This one's a really cool morning. mist just hanging around the grass, just slowly rising up with the sun. And the dogs are actually going berserk. And they've got people working the quarry, and you hear the people going crazy, you know, telling the dogs to shut up. And this time I could hear this growl, and it was right next to me as I drove by the pushbike path. And I heard this automatic growl. I can't even describe the growl. It's like a gruffle growl and a roar. And I just thought, gee, that dog's going to get me. So I just pumped my legs, started riding my bike as hard as I could, and I heard this almighty thump. And like something just jumped off the ground up onto the road. And then I hear the thud, thud, thud right behind me. And I'm riding bike as hard as I can. By the third thud, I could actually feel it behind me. And it was like it was trying to get behind the bike, but I think the back wheel was in its way. And next thing I heard this almighty growl, because as it was coming towards me, you could hear it growl once, twice, and each time its growl got bigger and guttural, I can't say that word, but it was like deep and throaty. And next thing I just heard this growl, and as I just looked over my shoulder, I could actually feel this, I heard the growl and feel this breath on the back of my neck, and as I kind of turned around, it just roared and growled so loud that I just shook off the, you know, I was just shaking inside, like my internal organs was like quivering. And as it was thudding, the bike was kind of coming off the ground and hitting the ground. I was riding the bike and nearly lost my balance a few times. And I looked over my shoulder and I just leant forward as this massive hand came down and this arm, forearm. And at the same time, the foot came in stride with its arm, and next thing I did, the other side of the foot, and it was like coming around the bike trying to grab me. It
made about goodness.
And when it was coming down, like it was thudding, it was, I can't explain. As it ran, you could see, because I was looking down at it's funny. I'm looking down at the ground, and I saw this massive feet, and it's in stride with my pedal. So by the time I'm pushing my foot down to move forward faster, the foot in sync with my pedal, that's how close it was. And I could see the inside of its leg. It had massive feet. It could not, or seemed it couldn't, as it was running flat-footed, it seemed to have no flexibility in its ankle, seemed rather rigid. And all the inside of its leg was almost bare skin, but it had auburn fur from on the top of its thighs and down the front, and its feet was kind of almost bare. The hands, I'll never forget the hands. When the arm came down to grab my shoulder and I leant forward, I saw this massive hand, and I can't explain it. The inside of its forearms were pretty thin. The fur on the outside of its forearm was all auburn, reddy brown colour, and it's very coarse, like a horse's hair, like a mane from a horse's hair, but it was short fur like a short-haired dog, if that makes sense, but with the odd strands of long hair. And its hands were bare. It had massive long fingernails, but the fingernails were like chipped and split all the way down, and it had dirt all the way down in the cracks and in the nails that you could see it. And it was, as it was growling, I'm leaning forward and I'm just pumping those legs as fast as I can. I knew I was in trouble because every time it growled, I kind of almost lost my balance and I felt really nauseous. I just couldn't focus. All I kept thinking to myself, keep moving forward, look straight ahead. And all I could feel its breath on my neck. I couldn't smell anything. That was the odd thing. I could not smell anything, but I could feel the warmth of the breath, but see the breath go past my eyes, because it was a really cold morning that morning and the sun was coming down. You know, the sun was rising up, but kind of coming at an angle. And you could just see the breath coming out of his from his mouth from behind, if that makes sense, because I'm looking at the spot over my shoulder. And I have to say, it's really, it's just like every time you ran, the bike quivered and I nearly lost my balance. So I'm going as fast as I can. It just kept growling. And every time it growled, I felt like I was going to pass out and get, I was really nauseous. Put that way, I was so nauseous and sick. I wasn't sure it was because I was riding the bike as hard as I could or because of his growling, because I kept missing a skip. My heart was missing a skip of a beat. And I just had like butterflies, but the butterflies are so nauseating that all my internal organs just quivering. I can't explain it. And this thing kept growling. And I thought, oh, this is going to get me, because by now it was almost running side by side to me. Like you could see one leg in front of the other, but its legs were kind of getting ahead of, how can I explain it? When you've got your pedal of your bike, as it was striding, its legs are kind of in front, almost in front, in pace of my front wheel of the push bike, if that makes sense. So it's getting ahead of me, like it's almost running beside me, but it's kind of coming around, if that makes sense. So I could see it from the side kind of coming closer, like you could sense it was trying to work its way around the push bike. I can't work out. I just kept looking ahead. Anyway, as I was riding the bike, some cars came around this massive kind of a blind bend because it got the hills. And the first car came and the sun was kind of coming down, so she could see, I could see her face in the car and the look of shock on her face because she must have seen what was happening. And she just sped past and a car's about 2 metres behind her. And as that car was coming through, as that car was coming towards me, it just growled and it screamed and it just ran into the bush. As it ran into the bush, it was screaming. And it was, I can't explain it. It was screaming. At the same time, it was kind of screaming, talking, like it was verbal, as in gibberish, I guess you could say. I couldn't really understand what, you know, it's like gibberish, verbal, screaming, yelling, and it growled. The cars went past, and I thought, right, it's time to do my U-turn. So I could have quickly spun the bike around to go back, to follow those cars back in. As I did a U-turn, I turned the handlebar too fast, and I went head over over the handlebars where I managed to keep the bike standing, but I had one leg on kind of on the ground, one hand on the ground, one leg on the pedal and the bum up in the air. So I'm looking down to the ground. I kind of look up, and as I hit the ground, I kind of yelled. And I kind of had the bike, kind of supporting the bike with my legs, but on the ground, if that makes sense. And I kind of went, ah! And next thing I heard, this, it just went quiet. Because you could hear it yelling and breaking through the bush. And as it went quiet, I went, oh, shit. So I kind of look up, and it stopped. And then it just stopped and it growled and looked at me and I kind of, oh, I thought, oh, this isn't good. So I kind of straightened myself up really slowly but not make it too obvious. And as I was halfway standing and I had the bike kind of almost standing up straight and I was kind of standing with the bike kind of, because it was a lady's push bike, kind of in between the legs but almost straight, if that makes sense. It was watching me and then it just kind of turned around. And that's when I just couldn't believe the size of it. Like, because I'm 1 metre above the ground on a high road and it would have been about 9 feet, probably about 30 metres in the bush. And as it turned around, it just looked at me and then it kind of sniffed the air and, like, smacked its lips. It was side on top of the thing, its face. And then as it turned around, his eyes, the sunlight caught his eyes, so they went like a deep orange to a light orange to a white kind of a glow, and then as his face came face to face and we're looking face on, face to face, his eyes just went like a normal colour. Couldn't quite see it, but could see the glow in the eyes. I felt the light reflecting off the back of the eyes. And I just looked at me, and all I can say is it was huge. It just had, it would have been about 9 feet tall. And when I say like a football player, I mean like very big but very lean, but it's very broad across the shoulder. And what really amazed me, it was like across his chest going down to the V, which he actually had a belly button. I could see the belly button. It was just completely bare, but his chest seemed like to be flushed like a deep dark pink across his chest and down to the V of his stomach where he didn't have any hair. It's really weird. Like, it's like a, you know how you get apes that have no hair across the chest? It was like that, but he was like this deep red flush in the chest area. And I also noticed that the sunlight as it on the back of his back across his shoulder, he had like short hair on his arms and with very length of long hair kind of in between the short hair. But from his shoulder down to the small of his back, he had massive long wavy hair, like really thick hair, but it was wavy, like a winter coat, I guess you could say, like he was mulching maybe. And that was across the back of his shoulders going down to the ball of his back and then from the side of his torso and his shoulders, just very short hair. And I could say it was just like he had a very long torso. So he had a very, as he turned around front on, it was very V, but with a very long torso from the hips to the midriff. And it was just lean muscle, like a thick pack. You know, and his torso was just so lean. It was just muscle, just rippling muscle. It's weird. I can't explain it because it's kind of like short fur on the side, but as he turned around front on, he had like bare chest, and it came to a V shape where there was no hair, and he just kind of had short hair down the front of his legs, and you could see, because I knew his legs were kind of, his hair on the inside of his legs were thin, as well as the inside of his arm, when he was kind of chasing me on the push bike.
What did his face look like? Did you get a chance to see any detail on that?
Well, the funny thing is, it's going to sound weird. I remember his eyes glowing because the sunlight hit the eyes. So when I say his eyes glowing, it was like the light refraction on the back of his eyes. And his face, like he had hair on his face, but it was, I had a mistake. Because the funny thing is, I remember his face, but I can't remember his face. I remember him like sniffing the air side view when he's kind of side on before he turned around. And it's like he was like, licking the air and sniffing it, like smacking his lips gently, and that's like a chimpanzee, but not as prominent as a chimpanzee when they kind of kick the air. You know how they kind of smack their lips together?
Yeah.
But it wasn't as prominent. But when he turned around face on, all I can say, he looked not like an ape, but not like a chimp, but not really human. So it was like a that's the hard part. But for some reason, I can't really remember his face, but I remember his eyes and the side view of his face. I think I was just so fascinated by his torso and his fur, and you know, it was just how embarrassing. The grass is really tall, and I'm kind of like a metre above ground on the road, and he's about 9 feet tall. And as he turned around, all I can know is I was so embarrassed because he's really rolling down. That makes sense. And I just thought, this is embarrassing. What do I do? Because I'm only about 19. And this thing's just like, it's the most incredible specimen. It was, had a man, of a figure of a man, but not, it was hairy. But, okay, like his thighs, for example, from his torso, he's very lean and athletic. But from his butt down to his knees, it was kind of like a, really broad, floaty, thinning into the knees, but then from his knees, his calf muscles went straight from behind his knees almost into his ankle, if that makes sense. So he almost had the same thickness from the calf of his muscles down into his ankles, so pretty thick ankles. So, but he was lean. He wasn't fat, if that makes sense. So he had the athletic body of a sprinter. You know, he had to have the big gluteal maximus muscles and the thigh muscles. But he was covered in very short fur. When I say short fur, I have an American Staffy, a bit longer than American Staffy, but he had the odd flick of odd strands of kind of long hair in between, and that's what caught the light, I think. And like I say, on the palm, on the back of his hands, the hair thinned out, and on the top of his forearms, the hair was thinning out. So it's weird because he had like his hair was thin on the inside, like he hardly had any hair on the inside of his arms and legs, and it was really hairy on the outside of the arms of the legs, and on top of the forearm when he went to grab me from behind, the hair was kind of thinning from, let's say, the forearm to the wrist. It kind of thinned out, and his hands were not really hairy on the hand. He was like kind of a dark skin, like a kind of a, I'm just trying to think so far. It wasn't dark brown. It wasn't black. It was a kind of a in-between colour shade, if that makes sense. It's just weird. Not like an ape colour skin, paler than an ape, as in the hand, but what fascinated me is his chest. He just had no hair across his chest, muscles going down to his belly button, and it was just like flushed deep red pink. And I couldn't see any hair. It was like it was just vibrant, deep red pink. That's what blew me. I don't know if it's because he had mange, I don't know, but he was a very healthy looking specimen. I mean, he was aggressive. And this is what amused me. When we kind of stopped and I'd kind of straightened myself on the push bike, looking at this creature and thinking, oh, no, it's going to kill me in a minute. It's just looking at me. And as it sees me kind of straighten the bike up, by now I'm trying to get on top of onto the bike seat. It just looked at me because it's seeing me kind of get on the bike. It had this look and it tilted its head to one side, then to the other. And then it had this absolute disgust look on its face like, oh, you're one of them. The facial expression blew me away because it was so aggressive when it was chasing me. But once it worked out what I was, I think what it was, tennis speaking, for 3 days, it was warning me to get out of his territory. Of course, idiot here just thought it was a dog, you know, wild dog or a dingo, not really worried about it, but not aware that it was forewarned me to get out of its space. Once it cottoned on what I was, because I don't think it's seen someone ride a push bike out there, I don't think it's seen anyone on a bike before, but once it realised I was human, and it realised I was female too, because I had shorts on and I had like a little top, and my shirt was kind of like, you know, I had the waist in that, you could see that, and it was kind of looking at me like he knew I wasn't a male, and you know, I think it kind of was trying to work out what it was. That was when it started sniffing the air and kissing the air with its lips kind of smacking the air lightly, and like tasting it, I can't explain it, and that's when he completely turned around. And as I kind of, so when he had that look of disgust on his face, like, oh, like you're one of them, he started walking towards me slowly. That's when he started taking one step and another step. And that's when I kind of just got on my bike, and another car, I think, came behind, and that's when it just screamed again. It just went berserk. It just yelled, growled, and it just ran into the bush, and it had its hand, one hand up straight, just smacking the tree, the green sapling tree. They're about like 10 centimetres across, some of these, and it's just smacking them like matchsticks, you know, running through the bush, just smacking them, breaking them, and the other hand just kind of flowing half up in the air and just pushing them down and breaking with the other arm. And that's when I just took off on the push bike and continued back, and the other lady that actually saw it happen came towards me and said, did I just see what happened in the car? And I said, yes, you did. And then she tried to get me in the car with her and said, no, my bike won't fit in the car. And she said, look, well, I'll follow you. You follow me and I'll drive in front of you. So she kind of drove into town with me. But the thing is, as it chased me, what blew me away was when it was growling, and I've never heard a growl. I can never explain. Only from movies, if you ever hear a combination of a bear and of a lion, and this is only from movies. It's like a combination of bear, lion and something cow. And it's when it was growling, it came from the chest into the deep, like really deep, throaty kind of growl. But while I was riding my bike, I kid you not, I nearly passed out because I kept losing my heartbeat. My heart kept losing a beat. You know what I'm trying to say? My heart was losing and kept losing a beat. I just couldn't breathe and I couldn't get my rhythm back. My heart rhythm couldn't get a rhythm, and every time it growled, I'd lose my heart rhythm and I couldn't breathe. My chest was tightening up and I really thought I was going to just have a heart attack. I thought I was just going to suffocate. I couldn't breathe when I was riding that bike, and I thought, no, it's because you're riding the push bike so hard and so fast, you're having problems breathing. So I thought, just focus, look straight ahead, focus. Meanwhile, the tan's going for me a few times, and by the time, in a couple of seconds, it's almost running side by side to me, as I said, and it was like starting to turning around to face me, type of thing. So I don't know if you get what I mean.
Yeah.
But I was kind of over ahead. I can't explain it, because all I remember seeing first its hand, then its outside leg, and I could feel it edging its way around me each time it kept growling. It's right in my ear, for Christ's sake. And the breath was so warm, and I could see this cold breath coming past my face, because it was such a cold morning, but the sun was coming up, because it's one of those mornings, crisp cold morning, but the sun's warming up that ground and it's all rising up into the clouds and that type of thing. But it was right beside me, kind of side by side, but then it was turning around to face me. But I kind of kept pumping my, you know, I was really riding that bike as hard as I could. And those two cars came, I think it would have got in front of the bike and just ripped me off the bike the way it was. But once it realised I was human, I mean, the look of disgust on its face amused me afterwards when I think about it. It just had this look like, oh, you're one of them. Once it worked out what I was, it wasn't impressed.
Yeah, but, I definitely think you were lucky that those cars came, because I have to be honest with you, Donna, this sounds like one of the most incredible Yowie encounters in Australian history. I mean, you have had an encounter that you can give detail that no one else, I've never heard of anyone having a more detailed encounter than this one. It's absolutely blowing my mind.
I kid you not, it would have got my shoulder, but I just happened to look up. It's weird, because as it growled, the first time as it growled, because it growled three times, by the third time it growled, I could feel the warmth of its growl in the back of its breath on my neck. And I just happened to glance up. As I glanced up, I saw this hand coming towards me, and I leant so far forward that it just missed my shoulder. That was the first time when I saw its hand. You know, I saw it lift three times. And as it grasped, which grabbed my shoulder, it was clumsy, like it couldn't coordinate safe. It, like, it's weird. It obviously can hunt, I guess, but when it was chasing me, because when it ran flat-footed, it obviously had no flexibility in its foot, and I don't think it had the ability to kind of grab as quick as it could, like, you know, like we can. You know how you grab something, you can pull it back? It, as it was trying to grab my shoulder, more of a clumsy kind of grasping, trying to grasp my shoulder.
May not have had the dexterity that us humans have.
It didn't seem to have that flexibility in its fingers. It was more like a clumsy kind of grab, crawly kind of like a crawl grab, if that makes sense. Rigid hand. And it wasn't old. That's what made it wasn't old. It didn't look old to me, you know. It looked young, didn't have grey hair. It's nice, kind of an auburn brown in the light, that reddy auburn in the sunlight and a dark reddy brown colour. And it was fit when it was standing from a distance. It was very lean, very fit, not 1 ounce of fat. It looked healthy. It looked young. It looked confident. I was in its space. It made it clear that I was in its territory when it looked at me. But like I say, once it kind of worked out as female, its attitude kind of dropped a bit. And once it realised female, it was like sniffing the air and licking it, like going, smacking its lips together.
Yeah.
And you know, chimpanzees stick it way out, so it wasn't as prominent. And his face was almost...
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number 1 in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
It wasn't as human. It didn't have human features. It had more of like an ape, but not as apey. And so that's the funny thing. I can only remember his eyes and the look of it. It tilted its head from side to side trying to work out what it was as I was trying to straighten myself off the road, because I kind of fell over the bike. I'm trying to, you know, I can't explain how I fell over the bike. I fell over the handlebar. So I had one hand on the ground, one leg spread the other way, one leg spread out the other way, and the other hand holding up the bike. So I was kind of spread out in the middle of the road with the wheel turned in, and I'm trying to straighten myself up quietly, hoping it didn't notice me, but obviously it had, because when I looked up, it was just side on turning around.
So
and that just...
What was going through your mind when you stacked the bike, when you're falling down, and why do you think it didn't come back for you?
Well, it started walking towards me as I was straightening up to get on the bike, and then another car came and it took off. But... Yeah, that's what scared me, because the first thing I thought was, oh shit, now I'm in for it. I really thought, fuck, I'm a gone. I shouldn't swear, but that's what I thought. I thought, oh, fuck, I'm in for it now. I'm not going to, this is the last time anyone's going to see me. You know, I just kept calm. I thought, there's not one thing, you know, when you come across wild bulls and things like that, or animals, just keep calm. If you move fast, that gets them excited. It's like when dogs hunt rabbits. They hunt them because they move fast. You get what I mean? If you move quietly and slowly, it's not as interesting. That makes sense. So I kind of pulled myself up as slowly as I could, as smooth as I could, as one or two, three movements, but not jerkily. You know what I mean? Try to make it really buckle movements.
So you think you falling off your bike kind of took the thrill out of the chase for the creature?
No. What stopped him chasing me was the two cars coming towards me that drove past. He ran off in the bush, right? And when the cars went past, I did my U-turn, fell off the bike. That's what stopped him from running in the bush, because he heard me go, ah, as I fell off the bike. Because when I lost my balance, I just kind of yelled. You know how you trip and you kind of go, ah, like that? I kind of did that. And my voice got its attention, and that's when I went, uh-oh, because as I hit the ground and looked up, it stopped and it turned its head and it looked at me, and then it kind of like sniffed the air and half turned its body, its torso, halfway around, looked at me again, and that's when I kind of saw the long hair on its back, and I thought, uh-oh, I'm in for it now. So I tried to straighten myself up and not make it obvious, because I had the bike kind of still underneath my legs, sprawled out all over the place. And as I straightened myself out, it turned its torso, looked at me, and then I kind of almost straightened up, and that's when it tilted its head from side to side. And that's when it started to turn its body completely towards me. From side on, when it's standing side on, half to turn, that's when I saw its his hair long back, his hair so long and across the back of his shoulders going down the small of his back. That was really thick and long. Like having, like, you know, he got English sheepdog type of hair like that, but more long and wavy, if that makes sense. Not matted, but nice and healthy weight. And he didn't look dirty. That's what made the only thing that looked dirty was his nails and his fingers, but the rest of him, he looked clean as. That makes sense. Looked very well clean.
That's really interesting there, Donna. It's because, I mean, the Kimberley area, it's kind of known for its red dirt and things like that. It's not the most luscious of places. So for a red, I guess almost a light-skinned creature to stay, I guess, fresh-looking, that's quite a feat out that way.
Well, see, like I said, his chest was flush pink, like a deep pink red. Like, it's like across the shoulder and his chest, it was just, or maybe across his chest going down to his navel area, that was all kind of very red, like it was flushed red. But the rest of his, like, arms are kind of like not black, not grey, but in between the eight colours, you get what I mean? I can't really remember the colour of the skin.
I completely know what you're trying to say there. Now, Donna, have you ever heard of something called infrasound?
No.
So... After we finish here, I recommend doing a little bit of research about it, but I have a feeling that you were subjected to infrasound by this creature, because everything that you said there, where you're kind of feeling a little bit nauseous, you felt like your body was just kind of tensing up, it kind of fits the bill for this, I guess, effect called infrasound, where it basically freezes a subject. And it's quite amazing that you were still able to ride your bike in this scenario, because that alone, having a yaoi chase you, almost being over the top of you with its breath on the back of your neck, that is some seriously scary stuff. And that's a situation that no one ever wants to be in. The fact that you got out of this basically unscathed, I find that to be amazing. I honestly cannot believe you got out of the situation so lightly. It's truly one of the most fascinating yaoi encounters that I've really ever heard.
Well, I have to say, when I was riding that bike, and it was every time it roared, I felt sticker and stickier and headache, and I couldn't focus. The only reason I focused, I used to do a lot of sports. So I just remember always had to look straight ahead, focus on your target. And my target was focus that road. And a few times I nearly fell off that bike, and I kind of, as he bumped and rid behind, ran behind me, the bike was kind of hitting, rising off the ground, hitting the ground. And I kind of put it down to that. But there were a few times I thought I was going to pass out, and I really couldn't breathe at one stage. And I thought, no, it's me, because I'm not used to riding a bike so hard. But I was very fit at that time, and I said I put it down to that. And plus also I did a lot of sports. We focused on our goals, which is your target to win. And that's why I said you're in a race. Focus on the race. Look ahead. That's the only way I could get out of it. Think at that time, even though things were right behind me, I could see the hand going from at least three times. And it's made a funny thing. It was only just the... okay, I'd say it's right-hand side on the opposite side of the body, not the arm closest to me. It was the arm on the outside of the body that kept trying to go for me. That was weird.
Yeah, I wonder if it was injured or something like that.
I don't know. Well, that's it, yeah. As I was saying, remember I told you earlier that, that night I kind of got home. I was really shocked. When I got home, they knew something happened to me, and I just drank like a litre of water in a couple of seconds, and they said what happened. I didn't want to tell them, and then finally told them, they laughed at me, and then... It wasn't until that couple of nights later that truck driver came to have a couple of drinks with my friends and I, and he was just chatting, and I just out of curiosity, how come you guys parked your truck here when you've got trucking bays out of town? And says, that's a good question. And as you said, that one night he pulled out of town going north, and he parked his car, his truck, and he was sleeping in his truck, and he heard this racket, this roaring, and something throwing rocks or something at his truck. And that was... What woke him was the roaring and something hitting the truck. So in the end, he got up to see what the hell it was. He couldn't see out the window in the dark. He put his truck lights on and saw this massive thing standing in front of his truck, throwing rocks and kind of roaring at him or yelling. And he reckons he just got in that truck and just went straight on the road, drove off, and he reckons he hit that creature. And he reckons that he hates trucks and cars ever since then. So maybe that.
Oh wow.
The one. No. But he's the one who also said, he made, said, I should believe what she's saying, because that's what's happened to me, because he's quite shocked. And then he said, there's no one in the town knows that these yaois live here, and they keep it quiet because they don't want to lose the tourism. And there's a family of them that live around the outskirts of the town, and they move around the town.
Really?
And there's one, yeah, and it's one truck driver went to park his truck out the southern part of town, going south of that town, and he parked his truck early in the morning to have a kipper before he continued on his journey. He had to look out of the truck, and there was a whole family of them, and he reckons it was, he saw like two females, a baby, and what looked like a male walking across the road. But they were peaceful. They didn't seem to care. And they said that they're aware that there is a family or families that are scattered around that whole area. And that whole area is, you know, very lush in the Kimberleys at the right time of the season, and always has a constant supply of water even during the winter season and the dry season. So, it's a very...
It's prime for life, really, isn't it?
Yeah, and because I don't want to say where it is. We don't want people hunting the poor things down. Because at the end of the day, I respect it for what it is, because I know what it is. It's like, it is, it's not, I say it is kind of human, but not human. It's not ape. It's not animal, but it's not human. I think it's a missing link. From my experience, I think it's a missing link, and that was a territorial thing when it got aggressive with me, because I didn't take heed to its subtle warnings 3 days prior when I drove my bike past him and he growled, because I thought it was a dog, because it's such a subtle growl. And even then I kind of felt a bit quivery in the stomach, like it felt really weird. And that I couldn't work out where it was coming from. I knew it came from that side of the road, but I couldn't see anything. And the whole time, you know, the only time I heard something was when I heard it rustle, and it just jumped up on the road behind me and heard this automatic thump and then thud, 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 roar, roar, roar. And that's when I knew, this is big. It's one thing I'll never forget it. Like, I sound like a rabbit. I'm sorry, I can't seem to talk because I've never really talked about it. Like I say, I just kind of stop and start and don't really make sense because it still blows my mind away. But when you're young, you think, oh, yeah, got over that, move on to the next thing in life, you know, just put it behind you, type of thing. That makes sense.
Yeah, no, it absolutely does. But an account like this, Donna, it will stick with you forever. It's and the fact that you haven't really spoken about it is that's amazing in itself. I want to thank you for, you know, deciding to share it with me and the listeners of my show. But
I'll be honest, it took me at least 2 weeks before I kind of got my bearings right, because it got to the point where my friends that took, you know, stirred the crap out of me about it, and even the people that we rented our holiday tents from, because they rented out, you know, organised tents, you know, glam cam tents type of thing, they used to come to me and say, have you eaten anything? Because I hadn't eaten anything for about 2 weeks. I didn't speak to anyone. I just went straight into my shell. I was just kind of disorientated, and I just couldn't get my bearings right. I just went really kind of quiet, and I just kind of kept to myself, and I knew something was bothering me. And I think it just took a while to get over it. I think I was in shock, but I didn't realise I was in shock at that time. So
yeah, did your mindset change after seeing this? Because effectively, you know, this is a creature that's not supposed to exist. It's a fairy tale. It's old wives' tales. It's not supposed to be real.
I'll be honest, I never really thought. When I grew up as a kid, I grew up in the wheat belt, Western Australia, and they always say yowies. There's yowies there in some parts of the wheat belt, but they're small, like 5 feet little hairy monkeys, you know. And I never really thought anything about it, to be honest, until that day. Then I told them, and they all made fun about me and said, no, it's Bigfoot, it's yowie. And it still didn't dawn on me till, you know, a couple of days later that that's what it was. I don't know, it's not an American Bigfoot, because they're really thick hair all over. This is kind of like our own species, you know. I don't know if it has a winter coat and it comes to a summer coat, because it, like I said, its fur at the back of its shoulders going down the small of its back was really thick and lush and easy, about 3 inches long hair, you know, and it's like, yeah, it was really thick. But the rest of its hair was just all kind of short hair, and you had like the odd stray of long hair between the short hair. It's really weird. But he was very masculine. I can never get the side on that. He was just like a triathlete, but football player, you know, very, a lot more, how can I say, a lot more, not short and stocky, a lot taller in the torso, but very lean and masculine and fit. And I don't know, But, yeah, his only thing was weird was this shape of his legs, yeah, because the back of his calf muscles kind of went straight into his legs, if that makes sense. His ankles, he had thick ankles.
Yeah, it's a really interesting feature of the Yowie or of the Bigfoot. It's something that I have heard before where it almost looks like it's just one solid big muscle in that area.
Yeah, yeah. And it's like he's and when he ran flat footed, he had no flexibility in his ankles. But as he ran flat footed, it was like he stride and ran and thud, if that makes sense. So he's kind of lifted up his leg straight and it's kind of a clumsy thud. But he could move, I'll tell you, because I was pushing that bike. I was riding that bike harder than I could. I know he could move, but that killed me because I was just, that died of heart attack. But, yeah, when he ran, it was like a stride that started flat foot, but he never straightened his legs out from heel to foot. Yeah, yeah. Really hard to and the funny thing is I really can't remember his face. I remember his eyes when the sunlight hit his eyes because they went from dark orange, light orange to a white, and then finally once he actually faced me straight on where the sun didn't hit his eyes were just like a normal colour. And his face, he had like a dark skin face, like kind of, not as, like again, not as dark as an ape or monkey, but an in-between colour. Not grey, but not brown. I really can't remember the colour. But the funny thing is I can't remember his face, but I remember his facial expressions when he just looked at me and went, oh, you're one of them. His face was absolutely disgust when he realised I was a human, like, oh, you're one of them. I mean, that facial expression, I can't get out of my mind, but I can't remember his face, if that makes sense. But this is weird.
It does, because I mean, not only the fact that you saw essentially glowing eyes, you know, you're seeing this creature, the glowing eyes would stand out. It would kind of take away from everything else that you're seeing there, because there's not really anything else out there that does have that effect. You know, there's animals that have eye shine. I mean, a lot of animals have eye shine, but for you to see the eyes glowing, that's something that's really different and almost has, I guess, almost a paranormal aspect to it, really.
Yeah, and I just assume, I don't know if it's glowing, or it's just because the sunlight was kind of reflecting off the back of his retina, and it's just the way he was moving his head towards me that the sun caught the back of his eyes. But they had that orange dark glow to light orange, and then they went white. And then once he's facing square face on, with shoulder, face to face, but, you know, like 30 metres away, then his eyes lost that glow. So it's like, yeah, I don't know if it's the sun, you know, wasn't hitting the back of his eyes. But I know he had very small ears. He didn't have big ears. He had, like, his ears are almost human, but they'll pin right back, like, really tight to the side of the head. I remember that part, the ears. It's weird because I thought, oh, his ears are smaller than this. I thought his ears were really small for the size of his head. That's what amazed me. I remember thinking, gee, you've got small ears. And mind you, it's quite a far away. I could see his ears. But maybe that's because he's so far away. I don't know why I saw his ears. It's just, maybe it was when he was turning side on. That time he's smelling there and doing whatever he's doing. But he seemed to calm down once he realised what I was and I was a female. Once you realise a female and kind of, oh, you're one of them, human. His attitude and his facial expression and his body language is quite calm, but then he cracked the shits because his walking just took two strides towards me, and that's when the other cars came. And he screamed and yelled. And when he yelled, ran off yelling, it was like he was talking. He's like, I can't even explain it. It's like he was yelling and saying something like, I can't explain what he's saying because it sounded like he was talking English, but it was gibberish. I can't explain it. It's weird. You know how some people have the dogs and cats can talk and they have them on YouTube. It sounds like the dogs are saying, I love you, like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've never heard that. When dogs go, oh, like that type of thing. It sounded like he was talking like that, but not saying I love you, but it's that type of thing. And I have where you have people on YouTube where they have their dogs saying, say I love you and all that. And the dogs talk back to them. You ever watch YouTube like that?
Yeah. I know the type of videos you're talking about.
Yeah, well, that's just it. Well, that's what it sounded like when I think about it, because he yelled and screamed. It really just went off the deep end. The other cars came up to behind me because they came off the road. They're coming behind me going into town. And that's when he just turned around, screamed, and he's doing that kind of talking thing. And he was just snapping the trees with one hand and throwing one arm up against above his head and just swinging that down, breaking other smaller tree branches down. And mind you, when he ran, he moved fast. He was gone in seconds. It's like he just blended in and he's gone. And that's when I took off. Finally, somehow I got the energy to just focus on the way back home until that lady came towards me in the car that saw it at the beginning. And like I said, It only lasts maybe a minute, maybe 2 minutes, maybe 30 seconds. I think it was at least 3 minutes because I know I was exhausted riding that bike. It might have been a bit longer, but in that short time, and it doesn't sound like much happened because a lot did happen, and, yeah, I just, you know, doesn't really sound much.
Oh, it sounds like an experience that you'll never forget, Donna. That's not just a run-of-the-mill experience with the Yowie. That's one of the most intense, incredible encounters that I've really, really ever heard. It's really something special. And I want to thank you for coming on the show and sharing that with me and the listeners, Donna. I really appreciate that.
You're welcome. I hope you can understand what I'm saying because I stammer a bit. Because that's what happens when you try to explain things like that. It's a bit of a, like I say, I haven't spoken to anyone about it and trying to talk about it and you haven't really distressed from it from like 20 or 30 years ago, whenever it was, it's really hard to talk about. You see it in your head, but you can't really speak about it, if that makes sense. I still feel kind of sick when I think about it, but it doesn't really scare me. I just feel really odd when I talk about it.
And that's going to do it for tonight. And remember, if you have had an encounter, get in touch with me. My email address is believe@ccradio.com.au, or you can message me on Facebook, and that's facebook.com/believeUFO radio. Until next time, stay safe, and you've been listening to Believe, Australian Paranormal and UFO Radio.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.